Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
This is where, if you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, just for a moment. This is why John told us this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. He says, "Now he who keeps his commandments," speaking of Jesus' commandments, "abides in him." And you remember the abide is a term of submission, right? It's a term of he's present, he's accounted for, he's yielded to the lordship of Jesus Christ, abides in him, and he in him. There's mutual fellowship one to another. "And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." And that Spirit, we know, is a Spirit dominated and controlled by love. That's the Holy Spirit is dominated and controlled by love. We've found that there's nothing we can do that's of any value in and of ourselves unless it's motivated by the Spirit, and that main manifestation is love. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal." You know, even if I give myself up, my body to be, you know, sacrificed or something, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You know, we've gone through that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love being that supreme manifestation by the Spirit whom he has given us. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Very important verse 1 of chapter 4 in 1 John. "Beloved," he says, man, you guys, brothers, sisters, man, we're part of the kingdom, and don't believe every spirit. But then it says, "Test the spirit." He says, rather, "Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." So now this is for you and I. Every one of us that are gonna, if we're willing to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, not just some weird spirit entity, but he's come in the flesh, is of God. "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Fully God and fully man." Now you remember, he's talking to this group that's been infiltrated with Gnosticism. And so one of their beliefs was that Jesus was just kind of a phantom spirit being. A spirit being couldn't do for you and me. This is the thing. A spirit being couldn't do for you and me what Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, coming in the form of a man. The first one, Adam, that came, gave up the right to rule over the things of the earth, gave up the right to rule because of sin. Sin entered in. Now there had to be then a sacrifice made, a perfect sacrifice that would fit the bill, that would satisfy all the righteous requirements, and Jesus Christ was this only one. And the reality is, a phantom can't do that for you and me. A phantom doesn't bleed like we bleed, right? You see, it's important to see these things, because there's cults and cultic thought out there that kind of throws out these ideas. Well, Jesus is just really the brother of. No, that's saying that he's a created being, a brother of Lucifer, you know, brother of Satan. This is, no, he's not a counterpart. He is God. You see that? These are some of the distinctive differences, little nuances that we must pay attention to. "By this you know the Spirit of God," verse 2. "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Thus, the sacrifice would not have been perfect or complete." This is 1 John chapter 4. Middle of verse 3. "And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." This idea of anything that would say that Jesus did not come fully God, fully man, that did not come in the flesh, is the spirit of Antichrist, because that would mean that there wasn't the ability for you to have and I to have salvation. We got to test the things that we're hearing. Is this of the Lord? Is this wrought out of love? Is this person trying to point me to what? If they're not pointing me to the person of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross, what are they pointing me to? Why would I be pointed just to some phantom concept? So this idea of those prophecies that we might hear, are they of the Lord? You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's where the battle really gets settled, because Jesus Christ in you is greater than he who is of this world. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. He's speaking to the culmination of the scriptures here. These things that we have from the letters written. You know, John being one of the original apostles, one of the original followers with Jesus. You know, saying, if you don't believe us, man, how can you be of God? You can't hear us. How can you can't be of God? He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is the truth and the whole truth. Absolutely. I don't question that cover to cover. I believe that to be true. I believe truth can be known. I reject the concept that it can't be known. Truth can be known. God is truth. There are absolutes. These are important things. And this idea of this testing the spirits is so important. And he prophesied in the house. And so David played music with his hand. Will you notice this? This is exciting. David played music with his hand. As at other times, he did what he'd been doing. This distressing spirit, remember, would come upon Saul, and he'd get out and play his harp and, you know, do a little jingle for him, and everything would be seemingly soothing and better. Worship. He's playing worship. This is what he did when he got out in the hills with the sheep. He just played worship, and it calmed his spirit. And so he just is bringing that, you know, he habits the praises of his people. God just loves to be in around the worship of his people. God loves that. And he's there in the midst of it. You know what? Satan absolutely hates our praise and worship of God. It is thought to be true that Satan was most likely was the original worship leader. That was in eternity. It's radical. And then, you know, him and a third of them fell. And so now us worshiping God, think of how what kind of angst that would create for him. Because his whole deal was he ultimately said, I will be like, you know, the Most High God. But then he would receive the worship, you see. Pretty radical, huh? This is the whole concept. This David played music with his hand, as at other times. Look at, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. Interesting. David is continuing to worship. David is, through worship, he's appealing to God, and he's bringing healing, really, isn't he? He's worshiping and ushering in healing in for Saul's life, right? Through worship. And what does Saul have in his hand? He has in his hand an instrument of warfare, and he wants to do David harm. Isn't that radical? That's a radical perspective to me, shift, you know, absolutely diametrically opposed to one another, polarizing situation. You've got David on one hand, who's got an instrument in his hand for worship. The idea really is who's on the throne in your heart. And it starts to show by what you're holding in your hand. What I'm driving at is, are we hurling spears at other people? Because as we get into this tonight, as we kind of wrap it up here in just a minute, one of the things that's happening is Saul is always, he's wanting to hurl spears at people. Why? Whether it's saying a cutting thing to take someone down a notch, whatever it might be, but that hurling of the spear, that evil thought, the evil eye, you know, that whole thing that, you know, how Saul's perspective had changed toward David. Was viewed now under suspicion, you know? But this idea of wanting to throw spears, he's got an instrument of war to do harm. Think about what is coming out of our mouths. Is it to do harm or is it edifying? Is it to build up or tear down? What's really happening? The thing that's interesting David is anointed as king. Saul has been dethroned by God. The Spirit has been departing from Saul. He's on the way out. He's going down. And the dangerous thing that the one who's going down is the one who's throwing spears. You and I start to get distant in our relationship with the Lord. We start to go down a little bit, regress from where we've been. You'll start hearing it. You'll start hearing it in your mind. You'll start hearing it coming out of your mouth. Things that are cutting, things that are destructive, gossips, corrupt communication, as it were, in the Bible, things that are not edifying, things that aren't going to bring glory to God, backbitings and the like. Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. Isn't that the thing? You know, the desire is just to pin him to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. There's another time coming up, and we'll discuss it soon, but not tonight. David dodges them. But do you see David pulling the spear? This is a brave man of war. Basically, somewhat fearless, I would say. Saul is gripped with fear. And you know, the Bible says that the fear of man always brings a snare. The other thing is that the truth to this too is that perfect love casts out all fear. We are perfected in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. See, Saul's not secure in his relationship with the Lord anymore. He's gotten distant from God completely. He's not walking with God anymore. And now he's gripped with many fears. He's insecure. He's not sure what's going to happen. So he starts going into this kind of a mode, and he's throwing spears, hurling accusations. Kinds of weirdness is going on. He's trying to pin David, God's servant, to the wall. And now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Saul was afraid of David because of the presence of God in David's life, because he knew the Lord was with him. But he had departed from Saul. Ichabod. The Lord has departed. The Spirit has departed. That's what that name means, Ichabod. So don't name your kids Ichabod. I think that'd be a weird name. So anyway, if those of you are thinking about that, that's a biblical name. Lucifer, any of those, I would just pass those by. That was just a side note. That was just extra. No charge. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him captain over 1,000. He said, man, you're just going to have to go do something else somewhere else. And he went out and came in before the people. And David again behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. He just continued to have favor, didn't he? Because of God's presence in his life, he continued to have favor because of who the Lord is in his life. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. Again, he sees God's presence with him. He sees what's going on. He's gripped with more fear. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. He went out, he would do battles, he was victorious, he would come back. He was a protector, and he was a good shepherd. That's one of the things I noted from my own notes in my Bible, is that, man, as a good shepherd with his sheep. He was amongst them, they watched him coming, and they watched him going. They saw him in the midst of his difficult battles and so on, but they saw him as victorious. They saw God at work with David, and this made Saul super uncomfortable. He was gripped with fear. He was not willing to humbly, and this was the downfall of it, and it just carries on, doesn't it? It doesn't get better. This is part of the lesson to me, is it doesn't get better, brothers and sisters. It's better just to walk in humility, because it doesn't get better. He hunkered down in his pride, and he just sought to defend himself and what he thought was his throne. You know, whatever the Lord has entrusted with any of us, he's entrusted it to you, but it's still his. Whatever we're doing in ministry, whatever's going on in our lives, whatever's happening, he's entrusted that to you, but it's still his. It's God's. And anytime we lose sight of that is when it starts getting weird. And all of a sudden the spears come out. I love David because he just kind of dodges them. Does his best to just dodge them. He doesn't pull it out and go after him. Yeah, all righty. How about it? You know, I'm sure you guys got to figure it's got to be running through his head, you know. Hey, look, I lopped off Goliath's head. I'll lop your head off right now. I mean, you got to believe it's got to be running around in his mind. I would think so. He's not super saint guy, you know. I mean, he's a person just like any of the rest of us. And I'm sure, really, like some of the times you and I are when someone comes up to you, maybe a friend comes up to you and just says, you know, and all this stuff starts coming out and like, wow, you thought all that? I mean, you know, can you imagine? This is the kind of spear that's coming at him. He's got to be somewhat confused. Here's the guy, I'm serving this guy. You know, can you imagine the confusion? It's like, what? He's just kind of dodging the things and just kind of trying to figure out what to do next. Eventually, you know, David's not stupid. You know, hey, it's obvious I'm a pretty serious target here. I better get out of the way completely. And he tries to get out on the run, and Saul then goes out in pursuit of him. And we'll get into that. That's not tonight's study. I just wanted you to think, as we kind of close out, just the reality of who's really on the throne. Have you disarmed yourself before the Lord? Have you allowed yourself to be vulnerable? And what I mean by that in our Christian experience, have you just laid your heart open and said, Lord, in your life, and said, because I think sometimes we say, Lord, you can have anything in my life. We sing songs like that, and we think things like that, but the application of that is very strategic because we say it, but then we immediately pick it back up and carry it with us. You know, the real ticket or the real deal for each of us is to leave those things with God, and when they start to come back up in our minds, remember, oh, whoa, I left that with the Lord in my quiet time earlier today. I best leave that there. Think about the problems that we face sometimes and the struggles and the difficulties. And we go and, Lord, help me with this. I want to know you. And then we just get up and leave. We don't even sit there with a pad and paper. I was telling some of the guys at the office this week, I say, man, you guys, I sit with a white blank sheet of paper and a pen daily. Close the office door, Lord, please help me to know what's on your heart and what's most important this day. I've got a million, you know the schedule, Lord. You know what I'm supposed to do. You know what's going on. Please help me to know your heart in things. What have I forgotten that's important to you? And you'd be surprised how big that list can get fast. When I just sit still, I don't take calls, I just listen for the Lord. What you'll find for all of you, husbands, wives, family members, brothers and sisters in the Lord, ministry partners, we will find we will all be in sync when we do more of that. Because God's not, his spirit's not divided and going to give different instructions to different people. If our heart's for the Lord, we're going to be hearing from the Lord and we're going to be doing what the Lord wants us to do. There will be unison. You remember, like A.W. Tozer said in his Pursuit of God, if there was 1,000 pianos in an auditorium and they all started to play, it would be a beautiful song as long as it's tuned all to the same fork. They can be in complete unison, sound like one piano if it's tuned to the same fork. And I think that's true Christianity for us. We've got to take time to get tuned in, to hear from the Lord, to know what his purpose, what his plan is. God's moving in our days right now. God's moving. God's doing a work. We want to stay alert and attentive to his purpose and his plan, his will. What does he want to do? But the key is who's on the throne. Is it my will or his will? Is it his purpose and plan, or is it our purpose and our plan? Is it God's desire, or is it just my passion? You see, these are keys. Man, when we link up with the Lord, whoo, it's a whole nother deal. It's a whole nother deal. When we link up in the Lord in our marriage, it's a whole nother deal. I've been married to the same person for over 30 years now, And it's interesting, our first few years of marriage, about 5 years, first almost 5 years of marriage, we were not walking with the Lord. And so I've actually been married to two different people, except it's the same, we're both the same persons, you know, but two different, we both have been. We've both, because when we gave our lives to the Lord, then we were like, man, we're not the same people we used to be. In certain ways we are, but in most ways inside we're not. And God changes us. And it's a whole different dynamic. Well, I think the same thing is true for us as believers. When we really get off of the throne and let Jesus have his right, take our weapons, the right that we think we have to ourselves, you know, that Satan supplants in our minds, that right to rule and reign over our own, captain of our own ship, commander of our own destiny, you know. Oh my goodness. Good luck with that. I suffered shipwreck many times on that boat. Guarantee you. And you know, the best laid plans in some of that. Now, are all the spears a bad thing? They're a bummer, but God will use those to those who are surrendered to him, even when the spears are coming at you. God will use those. I have learned so many deep things about the person of God and the person of my Savior, Jesus Christ, and the work of his Spirit during the times that spears were coming. I've learned and I've watched in humility, understanding that, man, my protection and my shield is the Lord. And I've watched and learned deep things about who the Lord is and how God works and how God loves and how God has a purpose and a plan, even in the midst of trials and difficulty. What Satan meant for evil, Joseph said to his brothers with tears streaming down his face, was for your protection. What you meant for evil, God has turned it and used it to good, even to your benefit. Think about that. The brothers who sold him into slavery hated him. He just kept on keeping on. And it kept happening to him. People were hateful to him. They did conniving things and messed him over several times. But man, he kept his eyes on the Lord, and ultimately, man, it proved to be of great benefit to many. So even in the midst of your trials and difficulties, we all face them, don't we? Remember that some of the spears coming at, they can help you to learn more about who God is and God's protection for you and me as believers. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and he wants to make himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and he loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that he loves you with a perfect love. And he wants you to believe on him and have everlasting life that you can spend all eternity with him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. Jesus, I want to open up my heart to you. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before you, Lord. I know I need you. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways, in many areas of my life. And so I ask that you would just come in and make my life new. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everlasting life that now is mine in you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant.
I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.